Join me in prayer. Father, we bless you because you are the God of heaven and earth. And Lord, there is none like you. There's none to compare to you. And this morning we want to give all our praise and honor to you. Not just in our singing, not just in our speaking, but Father, even in our actions as we live out our lives. Father, may you be honored and glorified in every season of our lives. This morning, Father, as we hear from your people, Lord, how you have been faithful, Father, help us to bless you. Help us to honor you. And so we commit the rest of our time together to your gracious hands and ask you to lead us and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned earlier, for those who have walked in during the last two songs, today's service, the program is a bit different. You won't hear from any of us pastors, but you'll be hearing from one another because we're all priests, aren't we? We're all priesthood of believers, so we serve one another. And God is working in each and every one of our lives. In various seasons, in various ways. So we're going to hear from four people this morning. And they're going to share about God's goodness and love for us. So first, Sarah is going to come and share her story, her journey of faith. So Sarah, and then followed by Tony, who will share as well. Thank you. Thanks, Sarah.
Good morning, church. Today, I'm privileged and excited to share my story with you. This is a story of how I grew up and how I end up in Sydney and how I became a Christian. In my family, my parents are Buddhist, and I grew up mostly regarding myself non-religious. The teaching was, there are many things in life we cannot explain, and there might be a higher being. So be careful, do good, and you will receive goodness. But do anything bad and will be condemned. However, God has been working in and through me before I even came to recognize Him. I still remember that during the final semester of my university study, I needed to get a particular exam result to study abroad in Australia. I spent most of my day preparing for exams. I was experiencing huge exam stress. And it was so hard for me to concentrate on study. I have nobody to pray, no God to believe in that time, and no one could help me get through this. I still remember on the exam day, there is a church building next to the exam center. That was the very first time I talked to God. My very first prayer is quite simple. It's just like this. The God who lives in this church, please help me focus on the exam. I really need your help. I even did not say amen or thank you or to Jesus. I just know that there will be a God in the church. There's someone I can rely on. Probably He will help me. And God answered my prayer. And I passed the exam and got the chance to study abroad here. Leaving China from Sydney was a brand new chapter. Departing from the place I have called home for the first 23 years of my life. It was filled with uncertainty. I vividly recall a sense of fear and accompanied with contentment. In this foreign land, every day has been filled with busyness and loneliness. I can't imagine how anything in Sydney can bring me anywhere new or anything more fulfilling. The fullness I expect had not come. I realized there was emptiness and that was real. And the grumble of my soul grew louder. After that, barely 6 months in Sydney and weeks after I finished all my final exams and endless assignments, I was invited enthusiastically to a church by my lovely classmate. It was my first time attending a church service. And then I was invited to this place. My journey started from the time I whispered yes for this invitation. I have expected that Christians coming together in Sunday morning for fun and singing together in a spectacular church building. Instead, The Sunday service consists mostly of worship sessions, sermons, and ministry time. Being in the Christian community with the openness I never had before was the starting point on the path that God had laid out for me towards Him. And now I do not wish to turn any other way from this path for all eternity. The first Bible verse that brought me was John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." It simply says, God so loved the world. This love is so powerful and unconditional, not because what we did or will do or can do, but because He loved us. We did nothing to be worthy to be chosen, but we were. And because there is no condition for this unconditional love, after reading these verses, I gave my answer to God. That was my second prayer. And I prayed, "Dear God, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died for my sin, and that you raised Him to life. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord. From this day forward, guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen." This is the story of how I became a Christian. My life was transformed radically that day I came to know Jesus. I thank God for the journey He has taken me so far and saving me through Jesus. I want to continue to live as a follower of Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Good morning, church. I hope you're all well today. As a Christian, I always thought God wanted to do really big things through me, and I wondered, like, being a Christian, how big are these things that can be done through me? And by thinking that way, I think I sort of missed the most important part about being a Christian. And the last few months we've been learning on the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus tells the apostles that once they receive the Holy Spirit, they will witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So that verse to me touched my heart, because I realised that important big thing for me to do is to witness about who Jesus is for other people to be saved. So I broke that down a bit, and for me, Judea is Sydney, So where I live, Jerusalem is Oatley. That's the suburb I live in. Judea is Sydney. Samaria is New South Wales. And the ends of the earth this year have been for me both Fiji and Europe. So my Jerusalem is Oatley, as this is where I'm living. In the whole of Oatley, I have one close friend who follows Jesus and loves Jesus, and we come together and we pray and we worship together. That's not saying there is no other Christians in Oatley, but me particularly, that's my brother in Christ in that area. We have much work to do in Oatley. I have a lot of family and friends as I grew up there. So the Spirit is working through me to, on a daily basis, to connect with my family and my friends regarding Jesus and who He is. To my own frustration, it doesn't appear to be getting through to anyone in the last 10 years, but I have to leave that to God and to the Spirit to work through all that. Then Judea for me includes my workplace, places I visit, sporting events I attend, which is outside of the Oatley region. And another place that I'm grateful that God has sent me to is to BCCB and to a great church family that I have to learn the gospel with and to share and to grow. So outside of BCCB, I also attend a Bible study, which is made up of people predominantly from Sydney area, but also has some people zooming in from Greece, from Africa, from other parts of Queensland. So it's quite a broad group of people who was brought together by the blessing of having Zoom. And the group has grown over the years, and thanks to the technology we have for that. So next of all is Samaria, and for me that's New South Wales. A few months back, I had the opportunity with Pastor Kell to attend the jail in Berkshire Park. And that was the first time I have been into the jails and met men who have been placed in jail for a long period of time. Pastor Kell spoke that day on why he believes in God. It was quite amazing. The interest from the men attending led to much discussion and questions for Pastor Kell to answer. The response was really great. And for me that day, the presence of the Holy Spirit was nearly overwhelming, because it was just an amazing, amazing afternoon with the Spirit present. To see where these men were locked up but living lives as free men because they knew Jesus, that was such a blessing for me to see. And they were no longer slaves to the fear and the sin because they knew God. The ends of the earth this year for me was Fiji in Europe. Firstly, this year I was blessed to attend the Baptist conference for 5 days in Fiji, of which Pastor Kell was the main speaker. He spoke in depth on the church and the way it should function, how the church grows, and mentoring, and amongst many other things. One thing that I remember that Pastor Kell said was that we should all be discipling, and that discipling is not the same as mentoring, as mentoring is a one-on-one experience where a relationship central to Christ grows between two people, but discipleship should be at all times and with all present. His love for people was a true highlight to me, and it was an amazing time to be with Pastor Kell, watching and learning from him many different aspects of what God has called us to do. We then went to Europe in June and July of this year with my wife Adriana in Greece, in Thessaloniki in particular, which is mentioned quite often in the Bible with Paul. And in that time there, we attended a evangelical church, and it was predominantly made up of people from Afghanistan and Africa who were refugees, and the pastor and his wife were locals, and they were Greek locals running the church. And it was a joy to see so many people come from a Muslim background and turn to Jesus. One man in particular really touched my heart. His name was Sonny. He'd been a Christian for 11 months. He loved God, and his foundational belief in Jesus shined through him. He regularly visited refugee camps, hospitals, and gatherings of Muslims from Afghanistan to speak the gospel. And by doing that, many times he was threatened with his life. He'd been stabbed, and his family had received many death threats. But because of the truth of the Gospels and Jesus' love, Sonny explained to me that he could not go back to his old life, and that God has commissioned him to spread the good news amongst his community. So we have prayed and we've spent time in Zoom and Bible studies, of which since Sonny has become a member of our Bible study group through Zoom, He attends our Saturday morning worship and prayer time that we have also through Zoom. And he's asked me to teach him and his friends on Monday nights some Bible studies. So that's been a really enriching experience for me, to spend time preparing to teach others. So at the end of all this, in Acts 11:26, I look at the church in Antioch, and there's implications that they reflected these kingdom values that made them different, being Christians. But they, even though they were ridiculed for it, so as an individual, I need to look at me first as an individual, and then me as an individual within the church, and then the church as a whole. And that way, who I become reflects the church ultimately and what the church will look like. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah, and thanks, Tony. It is wonderful, isn't it, when God grabs hold of you and he uses us for his purposes. And that's God's speciality. He doesn't save us. He doesn't rescue us for nothing. He wants us to be part of what he is doing. And he wants to show his love to the world through us. And it's amazing to hear about God's goodness and his love for us. And in Romans chapter 8, we have these words that Apostle Paul talks about love. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? Nothing can separate us from his love. I'm going to hear from Les and then followed by Tunde. Thank you.
Good morning to everybody here. When Jalan first asked me to share with you, I have an awful lot. Cut it very much shorter than it should be, but I have been filling a lot of my time at certain times of the day in something that came out of a sort of book written by Ruth Simmons, and she's a lady in the States. She's married to a gentleman, I think it must be true, because she has six sons, and they've been married 17 years, and she's got six sons. So she's a very busy lady, and she illustrates all her daily recordings with the Lord in this book. And I have just not pinched anything of it, but I've just taken little clips out of what she has had to say. And it all starts right from the very beginning, where, when I was reading this, that what struck me was from 1 Thessalonians, it was from Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, which says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you." And I have, we, Bevy and I, are, has been and born with me for the last the 4 years that we've been in Australia, a lot of downs and some very wonderful ups. But we've had trials and that we've had to cope with, which we would never have done on our own. But throughout that time, throughout this time, we have victoriously survived and come through enormous, what could have been problems, but God has always gone before us, solved them, and made the road smooth. Now, I can backtrack. We're from Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, South Africa, before we came to Australia. And we had those blessings while we were there. I was brought up in a Christian home. I was very blessed. And we always recognized God for who he was and what he could do for you. But, you know, when you're young and free and easy, you don't really care too much. Everything comes to you so easily. It's only when you have the responsibility put on your shoulders sometimes that you realize you have to take responsibility for things that happen. And we saw God's hand in the most miraculous things, like in terrorist countries where people were being shot left, right, and center, and you dare not say, but you step the revolver under your pillow. We went to Bible study with a Bible with a revolver on the top of the Bible because you couldn't bear to go back to the car from the Bible study in case you were shot at. All that sort of existence. And I had to leave Bevy in the house with the two kids, and I'd do army training and be out all night running around trying to protect field stations and things. But God protected and gave us the most amazing peace and calmness through all that time that he was there, and his word was what we had to rely on totally. I mean, we had instances when we moved to South Africa, which little odd little things which are just so important, but yet they're so small. We moved into a house that was newly built. I came down alone with my mother because she couldn't drive her car, and I was there doing a lot of the carpentry work, and Bevy packed up the house in Salisbury, which is Rhodesia, and drove the combi down on her own with the two kids. It's a long way. It's like 20 hours to get down to where we were. And she brought the household of furniture. And when she gave me the date it was going to arrive, and I thought, well, that's fine, I've got 2 or 3 days to get organized. Lo and behold, I had no sooner got there than the neighbor next door said, "There's a van outside addressed to the marshals. Are you a marshal?" So I said, "Yes." "Well, there's a big van outside." I said, "What do you mean a van?" "Well, it looks like a furniture van." Well, the furniture had arrived, and there's nobody but mother and myself, and a big furniture van. Now, to get staff or any employer to help you in the spur of the moment where we were living, it's inconceivable that doesn't happen. The van pulled up. 2 or 3 African colored gentlemen came down the road, sort of 30, 40, 50 meters behind the road. And as they came down, I said to him, "Do you think any of you people would give us a hand?" "Oh, yes, yes, sure. They worked with me for about 4 or 5 hours, unloaded the whole van, and I never saw them again. I went into the house because I thought the only thing I can offer them is cash, because I had nothing else. That everything else was packed away. When we came up, they're gone. Now, I mean, this is these are miracles from God. They're not man-made. I mean, these gentlemen, I'm quite sure had no intention of spending 3 or 4 hours helping me unload a truck. But our life throughout all the time we've been here have been peppered with God's wonderful provision for us. Even now, we've got a few issues with odd things I've got to have done to my body, which are not too smart at the moment. My body's not too good at the moment. So many doors have opened. I mean, I had a minor blackout, and Betty had to call AAA to come see if I was still with us all. And they came and gave me a few tests, and they said, you know, you've come around, you're okay, but your heart looks a bit wobbly. I said, well, it's news to me. I didn't know I had a wobbly heart. Well, they said, well, it's showing a few funny zigs and things. Betty, just go and have who's the heart specialist? The name they get, the heart, his smart technical name. Have a book in and see if he does it, see if you're okay. And he's found that there's got quite a few of the veins are not working properly and the heart's not pumping out the blood properly and all that. But if these paramedics hadn't found that out, he gave me some really interesting news. I don't say it's good news, but it's interesting news. He said, if we don't do something about it now, I'll give you 2 to 3 years maximum, because you're going to seize up. So, you know what I mean? Where do all these things come from? Where do all these wonderful, wonderful blessings come from if it isn't through our God, who is one step ahead of us all the time, sort of thing? And this little bit, was I found that was so interesting in her book, in one of them. It says here, you won't be able to read it, because it says, give thanks in all situations. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all situations. And I really believe that, because we've got to recognize how God's hand is upon us in the little simple things that we take for granted. So I'm here primarily today to thank each and every one of you. I'm not even attempting to mention any names in particular, because so many people have contacted Bevy and contacted us in our prayers and through the prayer chain. And everything that's happening to you, and I include Bevy in this because she's been an absolute stalwart in supporting me in everything, especially through good and bad. It's been God's provision in supporting us and providing for us, encouraging us through your prayers and through your dedication. And that is for what I really have. My heart is full of thanksgiving, because our lives today, and through the blessedness of being a member of the Baptist Church here, where we found a wonderful home, It's a joy to live in a society where you are cared for, blessed, and you have be able to have so many friends around that make life so worthwhile. And for this, I just thank you in Jesus' name.
Good morning, church. Okay, I am here to talk about my 43 years of existence in 5 minutes or less of my journey with Christ since beginning of 1996, when I met Christ. I don't know if I can do that in 5 minutes as well. The past few months in Sydney, in Australia, that I arrived. But I think what summarizes my story is can be found in the book of Psalms 89, verse 1, from where we get a famous song as well, and I would like to, maybe that at the end of the day, sing that song. And primarily it's because it's the verse speaks about the mercies of God and how it's very important for us in our journey as Christians. I'm an embodiment of the mercies of God. Psalms generally is attributed to David, but some of the chapters are written by other people, and Psalm 89 is created to a gentleman called what's his name now? He's an Israelite. And the Bible spoke about him in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, as a person, as a wise person. It was compared with Solomon. You know, Solomon is generally referred to as the wisest man ever to live. And the Bible in 1 Kings 4:31 says Solomon was wiser than him. So that tells you that the man was wise. So he wrote Psalm 89, and the psalm is speaking about the mercies of God. So it tells us that for us as wise men, wisdom of God living in us, it reminds us about the mercies of God. In the past few months I've been here, I've had the opportunity, I'm from Africa, I'm from Nigeria in particular, and the journey of my life, and that's why I said I can't speak about my 43 years in existence, because all through my journey, it's been the mercy of God. And then eventually when I met Christ, it's been from one miracle to the next. And it always gives me the opportunity to also share my story with others, because they always ask me, how are you able to make this happen? And then the genesis will always be that, or the start of any story will always be that, first is God. And that's always an opportunity to witness Christ to many, and then, of course, lead some to Christ. And Psalm 89, verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And so I'm looking forward to the rest of my days as a tool in the hand of God to continually use my story, use my life to witness Christ, to bring many to him. It's actually a different culture here from where I'm from in Nigeria. So a lot is different, but I'm adapting and I'm learning, and I'm still hoping that I have the opportunity wherever I am, if it's on campus or on the streets, at work, that I can use my story as a lifestyle, or my lifestyle as a form of a tool for evangelism to bring men to Christ. So I'll take my song. Please don't mind my crooked voice, but I'm singing to my God. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing with my mouth. Will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generation. I will sing of the mercies of my God forever. I will sing of the mercies of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Les, and thank you, Tony. I think you might have found a new singer for our music team. Praise God, praise God. God is wonderfully faithful, isn't he? And it is good to praise him, and it is good to acknowledge his goodness to us. I wonder if there's anybody else who'd like to impromptu share briefly about God's goodness. Beth, thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you to those who have shared their experiences with the Lord. And I'm just here this morning to thank all of you. I don't know how Les and I would have got through the last year without the faithfulness of your love and your prayers. Coming here of a Sunday is like refreshment for me. And God, through your prayers, God has gone before us every step of the way. It is actually incredible. When there's times when you can't pray, there's just so much happening, and you just don't know what to say. And I would just keep still, be still, and know that I am God, and I know that you are praying for us. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. We've still got difficult times ahead of us, but with your help and God going before us, we know that Jesus wants the best for us. And I just want to thank you so much. Thank you so much. Never think that your prayers are taken for granted. They're not. We don't always get to thank you personally, but this is just a very, very big thank you for your love especially. Thank you so much.
But isn't it wonderful that we have a community of people whom I'm sure all of you recognize that God is at work in your life. There are seasons and times, although you haven't shared with us up front here, but God is at work. Sometimes even when we don't know, and we look back and we find how God has been faithful and his wisdom and his guidance. I wonder whether you also noticed this morning, those who shared up front, they're from four different nations. It shows that we are a multi-ethnic, multicultural community, and praise God for that, to see people from China, people from Macedonia, people from Africa and Nigeria, South Africa. So praise God for bringing you here, and it is a wonderful testimony for God's provision. I'm going to pray for us before we sing our last song together. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, what a beautiful thing to hear, Lord, how you have been faithful, and Lord, how you call us to be thankful in every season. It is because you are at work in every season. So I thank you for Sarah, for calling her, and Lord, for the journey that you have taken her into, bring her into your kingdom and calling her your daughter. And thank you for Tony and Father for the vision that you have given him to be part of what you are doing in this world, to be a vessel that takes your gospel to the ends of the earth. And Father, use him. Help him to submit himself to your will. Thank you for the joy and the confidence that Les has in you. Lord, we pray for your ongoing healing. Lord, especially for the upcoming procedure that he's waiting to go. Father, that you be at work. And Father, we also thank you for your provision for Tunde. And Father, for, Lord, the ability to look back and see that you are a God who provides. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you continue to help him to serve your church wherever he is, whether he's at church or at uni. And Father, be with each one of us. Lord, you are faithful. And Father, help us to see you at work. Lord, we often pray, Lord, please be with this person, or please be with that person, or please be with me. Father, we sometimes don't realize that you're always with us. You're always at work. And so, Father, our prayer this morning is, please help us to see you at work in our lives and in around us and in other people that we have contact with. And as we do, Father, help us to honor you and glorify you. So we thank you once again, and we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.